Hey everyone, welcome back to the Quaker Nation podcast. I'm your host, Sean McKeown, the deputy editor for the Daily Pennsylvanian sports section. I'm here with Vivian Yao, my boss, head editor of the department, and a very special guest, Liam O'Brien, the started at quarterback versus Cornell in this past week. Not only did he break the passing touchdown record, the total touchdown record, but also won FCS Player of the Week for college football. An amazing achievement, an amazing game, and a guy who's pretty new to us, only starting two games this season. Welcome, Liam O'Brien. We'll do a small. There's only three people in the room, but round of applause. How you doing, man? How's your day been?
It's been going well. Sorry for my voice. A little sick, but
it's okay. You're fine. It's just getting cold out. We're all a little head cold. Thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. Obviously, you've had a nuclear last week. It must be pretty exciting. Pretty cool to think about and talk about. How are you feeling after, again, breaking two program records? One stood for over 40 years, the other for a good decade. How you feel?
It's weird. It's weird, to say the least. You know, coming in and taking the job and, you know, just adjusting to playing and, you know, repping with the starters instead of, you know, guys trying to get that position. It's just an adjustment. But, you know, the players have really welcomed me and adjusted to my play style. And, you know, when we go out there and execute, you know, we're dominant, and we got the players to do it, and we got, you know, talent across the board. So, you know, it's exciting, and it's really cool to see what we can do as an offense. But at the end of the day, like, this isn't me. Like, this isn't, you know, just me doing this. This is, you know, Jared Richardson catching a pass. This is, you know, Will Bergen blocking up front, Max Freeman blocking up front. And then on top of that, it's Malachi Hosley running for 200 yards. The most subtle 200 yards I think I've ever seen.
A casual 200, two tutties.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, it's, again, like, it's cool to get the recognition, but, you know, our mindset is just go out there and execute the game plan. And, you know, at this point, you know, it's set in a little bit, but our focus is Harvard. So.
Got you. And again, congratulations. Like you said off mic earlier, it doesn't really set in yet because your job is the next week, but it's our job to congratulate you, you know, hype you up and do all the media for it. To track back a bit, I kind of want to introduce you to the people listening, people at Penn. We've had Ayan Sayin for 3 years now. He's been a freshman. You're a new face. I want to hear about you, where you're from, how'd you got into football, your athletic career before Penn.
I'm from Boulder, Colorado, born and raised. I, you know, grew up 5 minutes away from CU Boulder's campus, so, you know, grew up going to those games. You know, my high school career was a little bit rocky. I played football and lacrosse very competitively, and honestly, like, lacrosse was my number one sport. You know, my freshman year of high school, I didn't even win the job for the freshman football team, and wow. Broke my collarbone that football season, so, you know, didn't even play, and ended up focusing on lacrosse. And, you know, next year, sophomore year, came in, and the guy above me was a stud. He ended up committing to Northwestern to play football. And 1 year above, funny enough, his name was also Aiden. so, you know, it was a coincidence. But, yeah, so I didn't start a game until end of my sophomore year. He broke his thumb, and I got to play the playoffs. Similar situation the next year. Was back up again, and he got in a little bit of trouble, and you know, I take advantage of my opportunity and played again in the playoffs. And then, you know, I guess take another step back is, you know, I took a post-grad year, so I was supposed to graduate, or I graduated in 2021, so my junior spring was COVID. And honestly, it was a blessing in disguise. COVID provided a big opportunity for me to, you know, grow physically and really develop. Mm-hmm. I probably put on like 25 pounds of muscle and
subtle flex.
Yeah, subtle. But yeah, it was a big growth for me. And we didn't expect a football season, so I really put my head down in lacrosse and was obviously grinding, you know, on the turf for football, throwing every day. But, you know, when we did get the opportunity to play lacrosse, I took advantage of it and, you know, racked in a couple offers and decided to commit to Cornell to play lacrosse. Funny enough. Mm-hmm. And then senior season came around, 6-game regular season, and played well. But I decided, you know, that wasn't the end for me. Mm-hmm. And no offers for football and a pretty sweet gig for lacrosse. And I decided to, you know, kind of give it up and explore football and try and go down that route. Mm-hmm. So I decided to commit to play football at post-grad at a school called Deerfield Academy up in Western Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was a weird decision. I think I probably got more texts of like, why are you doing this? And parents questioning me.
It's betting on yourself.
Oh, it was scary. It was scary. But, you know, I had faith in myself and, you know, I had faith in the people around me to, you know, help me and, you know, help me find my spot. And ultimately, you know, summer came around, went to a bunch of camps and, you know, put my face out there, and Penn ended up offering me, and I think I committed 2 days after. I just knew the place was home, and you know, happy I made the decision. So
that's actually insane. Like, quite frankly, it's such a long winding road, and it's kind of a theme for Penn football. I mean, Jordan Richardson was a quarterback, BC Owens was a quarterback. Like, everyone on this offense seems to have had to go through a lot of challenges to be where they're at now.
Yeah, we all got stories, and that's pretty cool. And you know, it makes us. You know, it brings an identity to us. You know, we've all had to fight through something. We've all had to, you know, overcome some sort of obstacle. And, you know, that's kind of what we're facing right now is, you know, started 0-3 and now we're 2-3, mm-hmm. big games in the Ivy. And, you know, we're always just here to fight, here to compete, and just do what we love. So, mm-hmm.
One last thing, leaving Cornell, like decommitting for lacrosse, and then second ever start.
Toughest conversation I think I've ever had.
Really? Yeah. Go on a little bit with the coach, with a scout, how'd it go?
So Coach Busick, I love the guy. He's he played lacrosse at Cornell and then ended up taking the head coaching job. And yeah, he was great to me, great in the recruiting process. Funny enough, both my parents went to Cornell, and my dad actually played lacrosse there as well.
Wow.
So he'll text Coach Busick just being an alum. And but yeah, it was a really tough conversation. I really did not want to have the conversation, but ultimately he understood. I told him straight mm-hmm. up. I was just like, you know, if there's a place to play lacrosse, you know, I would love to play for you. But ultimately, my passion right now is to play football, and I'm, you know, that's the path I want to go down. So,
got you. Were your parents in the stands at Cornell wearing red or wearing red and blue? What was their decision?
They were wearing blue. They were wearing blue. No red on them. But yeah, it was definitely cool to. You know, put up some numbers against their alma mater.
Got you. That's got to be a great feeling.
Oh, yeah. It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. Especially on Coach Swanstrom, too. That one was even more fun.
That was a big, big story for us reading about. I was like, oh, I wonder how everyone feels about the guy who left.
Not just him, too. Like, a good chunk of their coaching staff was at Penn, plus Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers.
Who used to be the running back.
Yep. There was their offensive coordinator was our tight ends coach. Coach Wanstrom is now their head coach. And then our DB's coach is now their pass game coordinator. And then Trey Flowers, like you said. So, you know, a bunch of Penn at Cornell, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We actually had a quarterback transfer to Cornell.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. Devin, he's one of my, you know, one of my buddies, but you know, it was fun. I think there was a play that we had where I ran out of bounds on their sideline and saw him and was just immediately talking to him. I was like, what's up, Dev? What's up, Dev?
So, you must have been a lot happier about that than I'm assuming he was given this score at the time.
Oh, yeah. No, it was definitely fun for me. I don't know about him, but
he was probably watching you drop all those numbers going, you know what? I think it was a smart decision to maybe transfer, maybe get a shot somewhere else.
Yeah. No, but he's a good guy, and you know, I miss him here and wish he had stayed, but you know, best of luck to him at Cornell. So.
Got you. And for the you know, we've talked to Jared Richardson, a friend of the show from before, I guess we'll call it that. And he talked about the connection y'all have as being roommates, being friends, coming in the same year. He caught 3 touchdowns last game. There's obviously more than just like a friendship there. There's a literal air yards connection going on. How's it been growing with him from being a freshman to now?
Yeah, I don't know how to describe it, but I feel like I know his every move on the field. You know, coming in as a freshman, we do a good job in incorporating a period called Young Guns, which basically, you know, all the freshmen and some of the guys that aren't repping get periods on Monday and Wednesday just to rep against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it gives us opportunities to get reps running the offense, and for the defensive guys get reps running, you know, the Penn defense versus running scout team and preparing the starters for the week ahead. Mm-hmm. But, you know, me and Jared really took that opportunity. And, you know, I think it was week week four of our freshman year, I threw him like a fade ball, and he just like crazy catch under it. And like from that moment on, I did not stop targeting him.
It took one throw, and you're like, yeah, that guy's good. Yeah, he can catch that shit.
And then our coaches saw it. I think he got his first reps as a freshman against Cornell. And then, yeah, he's been balling ever since. But, yeah, that off season, you know, me and him, I think, went to the turf every single day. So, wow. You know, we've built a good connection. We've put in the work together, and, you know, the time has come to for us to play together. And you know, I'm excited for every single game, every single snap that I get with him. It's always fun. So.
Just wanted to add on to that. I believe BC Owens would have been another receiver that would have gotten more reps with as a freshman. How does getting reps with them, like, as freshmen, and now all of you guys are going to be, like, starting together, how has that, like, helped you transition into being the starter?
Yeah, it's just a familiarity. You know, I live with those kids, too, so I'm around
those,
them.
Those kids?
Yeah. I'm around them 24/7, but, you know, we just have a good relationship. We're constantly talking football. We're constantly talking, you know, how can we adjust a route if we see a certain coverage. And on top of that, you know, I need receivers to throw, and that's how I get better in the off season. So when I have those two of my friends, my roommates,
those two grown men that I play
those
football
two
with,
6'4" studs.
They are.
don't get it twisted. They cannot be guarded. I don't know how else to put it.
We do not press man on those two guys.
We do not. Our defense knows. but having those kids and having the opportunity just every single day go down to the turf, and they're freaks of nature.
Yeah.
So
I had a chance to talk with Jared Richardson, who said he spent the off season here at Penn, I think last year, and he said, I did a work study job and I caught so many balls I couldn't even tell you, every day practicing, and you validating that, you know, seeing that hard work as well. I want to speak back to how you said high school, you were always the backup. Guy would go down, you would step in. Guy would go down, you would step in, a routine. I don't think anyone wants that to happen. that's never the one. But has that prepared you for where you find yourself now? It's a situation you've been in. You know to stay ready. You know, to backups are always told the same thing. Stay ready. You'll get your chance eventually. And all that kind of speech. How has that prepared you for where you find yourself now?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, being thrown into the moment, it's not a shock, right? Like, it, you know, as cliche as it is, like the backup quarterback's role is to be ready, and you know, you're putting in a ridiculous amount of preparation just to sit on the sidelines. And so, you know, candidly, like, it's not fun, but when the opportunity comes, you know, you better be ready, because you better have that mindset if you really want to be the starter to go in and take that job. So, playing in high school and having that opportunity, like my sophomore year, I was terrible. And like full transparency, I was terrible. Mm-hmm. I came in and, you know, I did fine, but you know, I probably threw more picks than I did touchdowns in that couple games I had. Mm-hmm. My junior year, put in a little extra work and was a little bit better. But same thing, like I wasn't ready for the moment. And, you know, I think that stuck with me, and it really kind of grew, you know, the mindset I have and the mentality I have when I attack the off season, and, you know, when I attack, whether it's the weight room, whether it's the turf, you know, whatever the situation is. But yeah, those moments definitely did prepare me. And at this point, you know, all I want to do is play football. Like, I, you know, my body only has a certain amount of games left, and, you know, I'm going to take advantage of every opportunity that I get. And, you know, I hope every opportunity that is to win the game. So
that's fantastic to hear. I mean, thinking about it as a timer really does add the pressure of, like, you only get so many. Everyone only gets so many. It's got to add that pressure. I also, you know, talking about Insane, who also came on this podcast, great dude, who spent a lot of time with us and was really kind. It's hard to see him go down. He's given three great years here. He's, I think it was 300 yards away from yards record, 7 touchdowns away from touchdown record. And those milestones will now stay because of his injury that Ray Perry said the other day was season ending. I just want to talk about, you've mentioned that how important he is in the locker room and how he's staying around and coaching and being a leader. I just want to hear about that side of things, the positives of how he's reacting to what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, you know, me and Aiden have spent, you know, 2 full years and this season together, and you know, I just got good things to say about him. You know, as a starter, anything I had, whenever I was pushing him, I was trying to take his job, and you know what he did was he picked his game up. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, he felt the pressure and he just kept working. He put in more work and more work as I put in more work and more work. And honestly, like, it made me a better person. It made him a better person. So, you know, seeing him compete made me want to compete even more. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a full circle with that. But, you know, right now, like, Aiden's one of our captains. And, like, we don't take that lightly. You know, like, our captains are meaningful players. The players vote for them. And, yeah, he's a glue guy in the locker room. He's been very supportive of me and very helpful for me. And, you know, he's still watching film. He's still breaking down their defense. He's still, you know, coaching up our receivers, whatever it may be. You know, he's just, like I said, he's a glue guy. He's a great guy in general. And, you know, I have nothing but good words to say about him.
Yeah, I know. When he came on the show, he seems like the nicest guy on earth. I mean, again, I always say this on the podcast, but our job is to bother y'all for quotes, for information. He sat down, was just like, all right, get it out. Say what you need. It's all right. and he just seems very, very much like, again, used to the captain role isn't taken lightly. I think he's just, because you're not on the field doesn't mean you can't be a team member. Doesn't mean you can't be doing, like you said, film, being in the locker room. And hearing that, you know, it makes me feel proud to be a fan of the program, hearing about cool shit y'all do. But yeah.
Well, when I talked to you last time, I think I got to break the news to you that you broke all those records.
You did.
It definitely didn't look it set in then. And you kind of talked about it earlier. Has it set in? Or, like, at what point did it kind of hit you? Be like, oh, damn, I, like, broke all those records. Like,
yeah, I don't know how to, like, explain it, but it really doesn't feel like I did it, if that makes sense. Like, I know that, you know, on paper, I'm the one that produced it. But when I take a step back, you know, when I break down the film of our game, I look at our O-line. I had 5 seconds to throw the ball. Mm-hmm. Right? They did a phenomenal job. You know, Jared Richardson took a screen 40 yards to the house.
That could have been a handoff.
He took a hitch 40 yards to the house. So, like, you know, I did, like, again, on paper, I did it. But when I take a step back and look at it, you know, it was all those guys. All I had to do was give them the ball, and they're the ones that make plays. I think, you know, after the Brown game, I said my 2 goals for this week were, one, to have fun and make sure everyone around me is having fun, and two, is get our playmakers the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, those continue to be my 2 goals for each week. And, you know, good things happen when our playmakers have the ball and when our playmakers are having fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's set in a little bit just because of how much is being talked about.
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the day, like, as much as I can, I'm trying to show this isn't my performance, right? Like, this is, again, the 5 guys up front.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 4 guys out wide. This is Malachi, again, running for the most subtle 200 yards ever.
It's crazy what he does gets eclipsed.
Yeah.
Right. He's putting up Ash and Genty numbers on every other day. And we're just like, you know, it's Malachi.
That's just Malachi. 92-yard subpar game.
I was looking at the stats the other day. Malachi had 2 games where it was like, you know, okay. And he's still 300 yards above the next leading rusher in Ivy League.
Jesus Christ.
And then another thing. Greg Chimera, new offensive coordinator. How has that played into, like, does him being newer help with the fact that he had to shift the game plan to play into your strengths midway through the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, I give him a lot of credit because it is really tough. Like, mm-hmm. That is really tough. Like, mine and Aiden's play styles are pretty different.
Yeah.
You know, I like to use my feet. I like to lower my shoulder. And
we've seen. there was some wincing going on in the press.
There was actually, when you first came in against Yale, there was like 3 or 4 of us sitting there like, what are the odds we might have to put in a third quarterback? This guy is taking all the hits.
I took a lot of hits that game. But yeah, I mean, my play style is different, and Coach Kamara understands that. And since week one of the season, he's like, if you go in, you know, we're calling the same plays, but we're calling it, you know, differently, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're calling a game differently. And so I think that's like the biggest difference you saw with, you know, me coming in at Yale versus me coming in at Brown.
Yeah.
Is Yale is like, you know, we're trying to call a game plan that we didn't practice, we didn't mm-hmm. rep, and we're really just like adjusting for the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas Brown is like, all right, we have a week to prepare. We have a week to adjust and to create. And, you know, our team did a really good job rallying behind it and understanding the differences. And again, Coach Kamara put in a really good game plan these past 2 weeks. So, you know, I'm confident in the one he has for this week and mm-hmm. see what we can do.
So talking about Harvard, your first game action at Penn was against Harvard.
4 for 5, 65 yards. Still remember. Still remember.
You know the stats.
Still remember.
And I know you
burned in there.
You mentioned when I asked you post game, you're like, you're 0-2 against Harvard. What do you plan on doing this upcoming Saturday?
I mean, I would love to say I would break my own record, but you know,
eight touchdowns.
That would be sweet. That would be sweet. But you know, ultimately, just the goal is to win. However, that can be done. My head coach in high school used to say, you know, 3-2, and that's the lowest scoring game. If both teams score, that a football team could win. So, you know, whatever it takes for us to get the win is, you know, what I'm willing to do. And, you know, I don't know why, but there's a lot of beef between Penn and Harvard. And so we feel that. We build it up. We love the energy. And, you know, we're excited to go out there in front of all our seniors that from last mm-hmm. year that are coming back, all the alumni that are coming back for homecoming, and, you know, put on a show. So,
yeah. Is a team stopping by New Deck afterwards again?
I mean, the ones that are 21 might.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer.
sorry.
Oh, a more fun question. You mentioned how you would say in our different style quarterbacks, who would both of your like NFL comparisons be?
That's a really good question. I mean, I want to say, like, right now, I feel like I'm giving off Baker Mayfield energy just because.
That is the best answer you could have put.
That is a great answer.
And the reason I say that is because Baker's talking a lot. And
you like talking?
Oh, I love talking. I love talking. Any opportunity I can get, I'll get in someone's face. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. You and Richardson are similar.
Yeah,
like
I was going to say, who's better at getting in the other opponent's head?
I mean, the ref hasn't had to tell Jared to quiet down yet, so I might be taking that one. But
you're keeping score of the penalties you get.
We're keeping score of that.
Under the radar, person who talks a lot of smack, Lista. I know he got flagged for unsportsmanlike conduct. When I asked him about it, he was like, oh, just know the words were said. It was football. That's what was happening.
That's all it is, you know, when you get into the game and you get into your mindset, I don't know what happens, but something takes over you and you don't even know what you're saying half the time. You're just going at it. But
my favorite thing when talking to Richardson on the podcast last year, I was like, I think you had more touchdowns than him at some point in the year.
I did, and I would have if he didn't score 3 against Princeton.
And we asked him about it. We're like, you know, and he immediately goes, he just gets it on the 1 yard line. He just rushes it. They just hand it to him. That's easy. I got to catch it.
His pride and joy last year is that he had more passing yards than me. So,
yeah, he did have the one. What game was that? He had some trick play. They tried it again this year.
He threw that thing to the dirt. I hope you hear this, Jared.
It was against Dartmouth, I'm pretty sure.
It was against Dartmouth.
And I hope Jared hears this, but thank God you're a receiver, man. Thank God.
You found your right position, baby. Don't worry.
Oh, you definitely have.
Do you hope to be on the end of like a Philly special with like Jared throwing it to you this season?
Man, if he can, if he doesn't put in the dirt. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I mean, that would be cool. That would be really cool.
Because I know Brown almost scored on you guys like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was terrifying to watch.
Yeah, they're about to do the Philly special on a team from Philly. And then I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys remember it, but this is a crazy, crazy point to bring up. Is last year, double overtime against Harvard, we lost on the Philly special.
I remember. I remember watching that. I think I don't know if I was at the game or not. Or Walker
Walker was at the game.
I think it was. Was that away or home?
That was away.
Away. Because Walker's texting me and goes, "Guys, the Philly special. No, they didn't." And I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And then I see ESPN pop up on my phone, and it's a clip from it.
Yep.
My heart dropped out my stomach, like my down my chest.
It was brutal.
Will you return the favor this Saturday, or is that you're keeping it on the wraps for now?
We don't. I mean, we could or we could not have it in. who knows? We'll see what happens on the game day.
Obviously, we can't talk too much about game plan and what you see out there. We're talking about a lot of the fun here, but there's also, you know, you guys have a very serious, like, actual studying to do against their defensive types, against what your offense benefits from. Is there any little things you can tell us, tips, notes about the game plan versus Harvard?
I mean, we got playmakers. We'll see what they can guard. You know, you got threats and threats outside with Jared, BC, Juice, Jaydre, Casilli, Hate.
You could name the entire wide receiver room.
I will. And, you know,
Malachi, Sierranos.
Everyone's making big plays out there. Then we got our tight ends catching big passes, Justin, Bryce. And then we got Malachi in the backfield. And then on top of that, like, you add the aspect of my feet, so it's you know, what are you going to stop? What are you going to choose to stop every play? And so I think that's the hardest part for, you know, their defensive coordinator is, you know, do you load the box and stop me and Malachi on the run, or do you drop back and stop Jared and BC in the pass? So
I think Jared had a quote where he's like, "This is the most talented we've ever been." That's what I've been hearing. And it's just offensively, y'all have guns.
Our offense is, you know, we got playmakers like crazy, and, you know, I like to say we're hot right now, but you know, it's just at the end of the day, we're just executing. So, you know, we just got to keep executing, keep following coach's game plan, and, you know, go out there and perform, put on a show.
All right, more fun question. We have a nickname for Aiden Saiyan, Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Do you have any fun nicknames that we can adopt and include in all our articles?
We have one already, but we want to hear Liam Sanity.
I don't know if you read my column, but the opening line was, "Where were you for Liam Sanity?" Can't take credit. Crystal, one of the sports reporters in Penn Band, so seeing you guys play quite a bit, came up with it, or her friend did. But that's what we have for you. Good.
I mean, everyone in Colorado, I feel like, calls me LOB.
Legion of Boom.
Liam O'Brien.
My nickname is my initials.
Yeah. So everyone calls me LOB back home. Everyone here calls me Schleem for some reason.
I was seeing that on Instagram stories. Is there a story behind that?
I mean, really, the origination of it is my head coach in high school used to call me Liam just because he, like, couldn't pronounce it. He just couldn't pronounce it. And then when I went to Deerfield, I told them that. And so then they started calling me Schleem. And then from that, it kind of stuck. So
Schleem. We'll put that in. I don't know how we're going to spell that. We'll fit that into some of our some of the writing.
However you want to spell it, you go for it.
We got Juice Stokes. We got Schleem.
I hope not.
Jefferson went his nickname to be 4 years. Because we made a joke. He's like, these corners got to deal with me for 4 years.
Jared just comes out with stupid stuff.
Oh, we know. Yeah. We know. We love Jared. Jared is one of is a good friend at this point. I have to bother him so much for this job.
Jared just knows that everything that comes out of my mouth is always going to be some sort of roast on him. So it's fine.
And no, he did the same for you. That's what real best friends are like anyway. You know what I mean? Putting meanness to each other. Do you have any more questions for
another fun one? Last time when we had Campton Cam and Scott Tony on, I asked them what their superhero names would be, because I said Campton Cam sounded like Peter Parker or something.
Campton Cam is a superhero.
Yeah,
last name.
And then Scott Tony said Daredevil, I believe, or it was.
He actually had a good answer.
No, it was one of the X Men. Was his, because his dad really liked the X Men. Yeah. I don't remember which one, but who would your superhero identity be?
Oh man. I don't know. I have to get back to you. I have no idea.
We're putting you on the spot.
I really just don't feel like a superhero. So I don't know. Yeah.
This shit hard.
I don't know. Maybe what'd you guys? You guys called me the finisher last year or something like that.
We did. Walker wrote an article because you'd cap off every drive. They wouldn't bring you in until the 1 yard line.
Until the 1 yard line. And that was my head down. That's all it was.
I remember we were and I was in the press box with Walker. He was right, and I was just there for shame and giggles. And you come in, and I was like, why isn't our quarterback coming in? He's like, it's the finisher. And he holds an arm against me. He's like all dramatic about it. And you run it on the first attempt. He's like, I told you. And goes back to writing. I was confused. I don't know if I was laughing or I was like, all right, cool. What the fuck I miss?
But I think you're like known for being the person they put in when you're in short yardage on the goal line situations. Because this year against Delaware, Josh Liddick, which I'm sure you're well acquainted with.
Athletic communications at the University of Pennsylvania.
He was sitting right next to us, and you guys, I think, were in a short yardage situation. And he was like, why aren't they putting Liam in?
Yeah. No, also, I don't know. I think like early in the season, Coach Kamara was just adjusting to like understanding who we had on offense. Because, again, like I just named, we have so many players.
So many people.
So it's hard to get everyone the ball. But, yeah, I got my first touch against Dartmouth, and now we're getting touches all around. So
I'm curious, do you like for running in short yard situations, you scramble, you throw on the run. It's where do you find that talent? Cuz remember like usually when it's like a Cam Newton type 6'5" fucking gigantic dude for short yard situations. You're an athlete, don't get me wrong, but like you find ways to push through people that are much larger than yourself. That's something like it's the same way you shout out Baker Mayfield.
Did you see that nasty stiff arm against Bosa?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about something he did, not Baker Mayfield. But like stuff like that, where do you find that? Is that footwork? I know you should play across. Where do you find the ability to also find open field?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of my ability for like body control just comes from lacrosse and just comes from constantly, you know, playing sports where I'm forced to cut and forced to move. My trainer in high school, who I trained with all high school, we would do like Movement Wednesday, and literally all we would do is do like games.
Yeah.
So it's just one-on-ones where you're trying to make the other guy miss, trying to make him fall.
Wow.
So I think that definitely played a big role into it. And on top of that, just again like playing lacrosse constantly, playing football constantly, and in high school similarly as a backup, like I would go in for garbage time and all they would call is like QB counter. So I've gotten reps at it, and last year definitely helped a lot in the sense that it built a confidence that I am big enough, I am strong enough to put my head down and meet a 6'4 245 pound linebacker in the hole, and I'm fine doing that. I'm personally gonna
put him down.
I'm personally gonna avoid it at this point. But I don't know. Some of it, you watch Malachi run. Like, I don't know where he learned to do that, but I think it's just somewhat natural. So, I don't know necessarily. I can't pinpoint where I learned it, but I'm blessed to have it.
Yeah.
So. Just out of curiosity, what position did you play when you played lacrosse?
I was primarily an offensive middy, but by like my senior year of high school, I was playing two way, and I was just trying to stay on the field as much as I could. So, but yeah, I got recruited at Cornell to play the offensive middy.
I also sorry for getting distracted for a moment, but we're talking about Malachi. We can't get him to talk about himself. we want him.
He gives us very
short. Oh, he short knows. Answers. Oh, I know. He my favorite interaction was like, oh, who do you credit your success to? Like, you've worked so hard. He goes, God, my parents. And not a single other word came out of his mouth, just nodded his head.
You got that Marshawn Lynch mentality.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
And I want to hear, playing with that kind of guy, it opens up the offense. And also, a lot of teams in FCS are victim to uninventive run schemes. It's a power, handoff, spread. Like, it's never – I've seen y'all run – some of the nicest run plays. Like, you'll have a fake motion, counter backward. Like, it's just actually thought out process where a lot of teams ignore that for the run game. I want to hear about game plan run wise and how special of an athlete he is. Because again, he won't say it himself. The coaches will just be like, yeah, he's good.
Yeah. So. No, I mean, Malachi's a freak. I think the freakiest thing I heard recently is I was talking to Jared and BC about who on the Penn football team is our starting five if we were to play basketball, and they named Malachi, and it was like, I don't know why, but it was like
no the one most named Juice?
It was the most surprising That's a good one. Watch. That's a good one. That's
one,
a good one.
One time, one of our writers came up to us and we're like, "Is it a, what if I called juice pint-sized?"
All right.
I immediately took that. We're not doing that. Yeah. We're not being disrespectful. Anyway,
he is a Division One athlete.
He's also a killer. He's all like
Juice is a freak. Juice is like the fastest kid.
It was insane. I was his neighbor last year. Just insane, dude. Like, yeah. I'd catch him on like a Wednesday at 1 a.m. I'm like, "Where are you coming from?" He's like, "Working." Where at? He's like, "I was out in the field till the lights turned off." Like,
no, Juice puts in more work than anyone.
And that's with his injury, with everything. He's an insane guy. And also an incredible dude. Yeah. Like, good friend of mine at this point. Very, very grateful to know him.
Before you get back to your basketball lineup, I also wanted to bring up, I do think Cornell was avoiding kicking to him.
To Juice?
Yeah, I feel like Cisneros got the first three kickoffs, and then when they finally gave it to him, he returned it 40 yards, and everyone saw why.
Yeah, there's no question that Juice is dangerous. Yeah, so.
But back to the
basketball. I don't know why that was the most surprising thing, but it was, and so there's that. On top of that, just Malachi gets hit, and it still takes four more guys to bring him down. Like, that's just freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Malachi went for the most subtle 200 yards I think I've ever witnessed. And he was averaging like,
it was like 8 yards a carry.
It was like 10 yards a carry. And there was at one point where we went same play, three plays in a row. And like, we made it clear. Like, the coaches know our call for like same play because it's the same one we used last year.
Yeah. Like, there's some familiar faces on the other side.
And we said the same call, like same, you know, whatever. And he went like 8 yards, 15 yards, 17 yards. Like, it was like he got more each time, mm-hmm. and it was the most crazy thing I saw.
Not only the strength and the core, he put on like 25 pounds of muscle this offseason.
Yeah.
On top of all that, I was trying to do stats analysis. He's one of the top five fastest running backs in FCS. That's he's crazy. Got burners.
No, and, he does.
And it's just like, and then you see him, he's like, all right, he's also, he's built like a sofa. Like, he looks like a futon.
He reminds me of like, obviously a big leap, but like Derrick Henry, but the bruising back who also has elite top end speed.
No, it's really crazy. Like, whenever Malachi gets the ball in his hands, like, I'm shocked if he gets less than a yard.
Yeah, I would love to see how many tackle for losses he's had. I bet it's unless it's goal line situations, I don't think there's money.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right. What was the original question? I feel like we got
basketball starting five.
Wait, who was the rest of the basketball starting five? Sorry.
We got it.
Well,
I think we're just talking.
I know three of them.
I'll wrap this up sooner because we're just vibing at this point.
There's I know no three plot. Of them is definitely Jared, BC, and Malachi. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I mean, name your player, I guess. Like, I don't really know.
We'll put Lista at the power forward. get a technic, get two techs in the middle.
Yeah, he'll be out of there in a second.
Got you. I also would be excited. I brought up the idea of playing football against y'all, having our Rioters press. We are really excited about that. We'll also play basketball against you. We'll have some fun.
Yeah, we, you know, set it up and we'll be there.
Pros versus Joes.
Yeah, we're always there for a good competition.
This one will probably be in the off season.
Yeah. We
give us a couple weeks to rest.
Yeah, I think y'all are a little busy. I heard there's a game coming up actually. But yeah, we're excited for that as well. To cap off every podcast, I ask every athlete, this is a production about you and your accomplishments, your career. What's something that you wish would be said about you? Again, this is the internet, permanent shit. But like, sometimes when we're writers, we miss things and people read our articles like, oh, that's not me. And that, you know, that always makes me upset because like, we're trying to do our best for y'all. This is always my default question. Like, if I miss something, you got this right now. Get it off your chest. Usually sometimes people thank people. Sometimes they go on like whatever their personal mission is in life. If you have anything to say, this is your chance.
Yeah, I think the first thing I want to touch on is, you know, the quarterback takes, you know, most of the praise, and the people that are, you know, providing and sacrificing themselves aren't getting enough recognition. So, you know, first and foremost, I want to thank every one of my offensive linemen. I think I already touched on this, but I had all day to throw. I think I got hit in the backfield like once last game. So, you know, I'll name them. Natino Oliveri, Max Freeman, Will Bergen, Luke Sacchetti, and Aaron Cruz, and then Jake Bingham. I know he got in there. Like, all of those guys, you know, shout out to them. They're protecting their butts off for me. I think I saw it somewhere that offensive line is the one position in all sports where your back is constantly to the ball. And so, you know, talk about trust. Like, that's me trusting them. That's them trusting me. So, you know, I appreciate them and everything they're doing. You know, second is, you know, I just want to appreciate and take the time to thank, you know, the coaches having faith in me and having faith to adjust to my play style and really give me the reins. And, you know, they recruited me for a reason, so I'm glad that they put that trust in me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, lastly is just, you know, I want to thank my parents, obviously. They've supported me all this way, and, you know, they're the ones that kind of funded me to be here. So, you know, I couldn't have done it without them, so.
Got you. I can hear the care in your voice coming out. That's and it's I think that's a proper thing to say, to thank the people, both making sure you don't get your ass beat and your parents.
Yep.
But yeah, again, I'm gonna say thank you for coming on, and also a message for anyone listening. We'll probably put this post on social media. Go to homecoming, go out, go to the game. Don't drink too much, but have a good time.
I heard there's celebrate a $10 open bar or something like that.
Don't get me excited, man.
I don't know.
Press is banned from drinking.
Yeah, I mean, players also. So.
And that doesn't stop. Anyway, just please go out to the games, y'all. Have a great time. And yeah, thank you again. Good luck versus Harvard. This has been another episode of Quaker Nation Podcast, and hope you guys tune in again sometime soon.